Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Mark Robinson. Mark is the councilman in the 5th Ward, and he's going to be running for city council president. So, Mark, how are you doing?
Good afternoon, Ms. Cynthia. I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm doing well. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, people aren't really too aware of what a common council president does. So let's talk for a couple of minutes about the responsibilities of the common council president. He or she presides over the meetings, and most importantly, the common council president is a mayor in waiting. So can you kind of give an overview of what you would be doing if you were the common council president and something had happened to the person who was elected mayor?
Well, like you have mentioned, Ms. Cynthia, you know, a lot of people is not aware of the responsibilities of a council president. You were right when you said that, you know, he or she will preside over council meetings. And we will only have the opportunity to vote in case that there's an event of a tie. A lot of people have asked me, why would I consider running for council president when I wouldn't have any power to vote? There are several reasons why I choose to run for common council president. As you know, the common council president is also a member of the board of estimate and apportionment, and also sits on the board of the Albany Community Development Agency. During my first term on council, I have seen that the Albany County Development Agent, who is in charge of distributing community development block grant funding, or CDBG monies, to certain areas that fall within census tracts of the federal government, mainly urban depressed areas. And for my first 4 years on council, I realized that year after year, the same community organizations was coming in front of the Albany Community Development Agency and requesting CDBG money. And it was not given opportunity to new organizations that have popped up in the communities and doing good work in the communities opportunity to receive some of this funding to get their organizations off the ground and to become afloat and to become successful. Because a lot of startup organizations, they need that funding to actually, you know, begin the process of having a successful organization to do business with community affairs and community standards in mind. Looking at that, begin to question, you know, why year after year same organizations has came in front of the community development agency to receive the CDBG block grant money. And also, as a result of my investigation, they have put a 3-year stipulation on all programs or all organizations that actually go after this funding support. And, you know, the stipulation is that in 3 years they have to prove that they can become self-sufficient and not relying on CDBG money, which will give startup organizations the opportunity to actually engage in this funding. And also what I recognize that there was no oversight. And what I mean is no oversight, there's supposed to be community grant writers, community grant readers, or people that's from the community that's supposed to be studying these grants that actually these organizations is actually, when they come for this funding, they're supposed to be members within the community actually reading the grants, there was not happening. And what I made mention to on the council floor about my concern how there's no oversight and how this money is being dispersed to these organizations, at this time, Council President McLaughlin, she stated that, hey, I sit on this board and I am not aware that there is no community grant writers actually reading these grants. So that just goes to show how, you know, there would be somebody that would be sitting on the bench as council president. You know, hopefully it would be myself. Hopefully I would be victorious in September 12th in the Democratic primaries to make sure that this oversight is not overlooked. And also, when we deal with the board of estimate and appropriation men, we keep an eye on our revenue and our expenditures. You know, we have a lot of construction and rehabilitation projects going on in our city, with several million dollars being spent on, you know, major items of equipment. And I also question, as far as when our bonding process takes place, that why year after year after year that we are spending money on equipment, and why isn't that we have share equipment within the city of Albany? Why is it that we have to spend money on 5 lawnmowers for BGS and then another 5 lawnmowers for Albany Parks and Recreation? I think that's reckless spending, and I think there needs to be more oversight there. Them is just a couple of reasons why I feel that I am the best candidate to be elected come September 12th for Common Council President of the City of Albany.
One of the things that was very interesting is the vote for Rezone Albany. You were one of only 3 Common Council members that voted against it. Your colleagues, Frank Commisso and Jed Crasher, also. But before there was the vote, you gave a very moving speech about why you were against it. In essence, what did you say that night in the Common Council meeting as to why you thought the rezone vote was wrong?
First, let's be clear that for 4 years, I have sat in council and I have seen developer after developer coming from the council, and I question a lot of these zoning as being spot zoning. I have no facts on that, but I know that the Board of Zoning Appeals is designed to handle certain cases. So my question to council then is, you know, why are these developers coming in front of council when, in fact, the Board of Zoning Appeals handle, when it comes to developers looking for zoning, to build in the city of Albany? But I wouldn't want to, you know, say that spot zoning exists in the city of Albany, you know, because, you know, it's not factual. But I know that from my time on council, it was developers came amongst council that, you know, if it wasn't spot zoning, it was definitely questionable, at least. And again, for 4 years, I stress, because I know that $1 million of tax breaks and tax incentives goes to the developers. Are you there?
Mark?
Yes. Can you hear me? Hello?
Bear with me a second while I try Mark again. I'm dialing.
Councilman Mark Robinson.
Mark, we're on the air.
Yes, I'm sorry for some people. I'm sorry. I apologize.
That's okay. Okay. So you were talking about the common council and rezoning.
Yes. I see within my... Hello, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, thank you. My first 4 years on common council, I have seen a lot of developers coming amongst us and receive spot zoning, so to say. And again, I know for a fact, as I ask these developers, do they have plans on going in front of the IDA and asking for tax breaks or tax incentives, you know, for them building in our city? In most cases, the answer was absolutely. And then I posed to them if they have went into the host communities where they're proposing the bill and have conversations with the neighborhood associations, with the residents of these neighborhoods, and in most cases they have it. And during public comment, time after time again, because we have to understand, Ms. Cynthia, that when planning takes place, it cannot proceed without a public comment. It cannot proceed without members of the public stressing their concerns of how they see this development coming into their communities and whether they agree with it or disagree with it. Mm-hmm. And time after time, at public comment, you'll have 90% of the residents of the city of Albany coming and opposing these developers coming into their neighborhood and build. The only people that will come in front of public comment and would speak for the development will be the developers themselves.
Uh-huh.
So being a public servant, it is my job and it is my responsibility is to hear the concerns of the constituents. And hearing the concerns of the constituents, that's where my reactions and my passion come in to fight for their right, to fight to be the voice. Because it seems like 12 members of council, they sit there doing public comment and they hear the concerns of the constituent. They hear the concerns of the residents of Albany, New York, opposing this development coming into their neighborhoods and building. But at the end of the public comment, it seems like it fell on deaf ears and they just vote to allow the developers to come in and build. And I don't believe that's right, because I believe that the constituents who would be the ones who is affected through quality of life, through traffic patterns, you know, to the increase of housing stock, rather than commercial coming into a residential neighborhood. You are talking about, you have people in the upper end of our city who pay the lion's share of taxes in the city of Albany. And it's for a reason, because they have a quality of life that they are used to, they have become accustomed to. And they feel violated just to the fact that now you have a government entity, a government coming to them and saying that your voice and your concerns don't count. For big pocket developers, for them to be happy, we are going to go according to the developers and don't even consider the concerns of the everyday citizen or the residents whose quality of life is being interrupted by this development.
When I would talk about this, I would say, well, you know, maybe it needs more discussion, maybe it needs to be tabled until, you know, after the election. People would tell me, oh, we've had enough discussion on it, you know, we're ready to vote on it. Why do you think the mayor was so anxious to put this through and have a vote?
Ms. Cynthia, it's, again, she had a, I believe it was on June 6th, she had a fundraiser at $2,500 a plate.
Right.
Common folk were not able to go to that fundraiser. It was the developers. And Impact Downtown Albany along the Warehouse District, as well as the Palace Theater, right? She had a great interest in making sure that developers do not be met with resistance or roadblock in this particular area. So, and also, you know, you have developers that's now trying to find their way uptown and building in residential neighborhoods. And Kathy Sheehan's objective is to make sure that the developers don't have any resistance. So by pushing the Albany rezone through, and that's exactly what they did, they jammed it down our throat. You say that, you know, several council members or the majority of council members say that it's been discussed enough. You cannot discuss decades and decades of zoning in 2.5 years. You know, why isn't that, I mean, why wasn't it sufficient for us to deal with developers on a case-by-case basis? And I stressed that night when the vote came back 12-3 that, you know, we need to just not act on this. Let's wait for a new common council, possibly a new mayor, and then we can visit this. And I believe that Kathy Sheehan, if she wouldn't have passed this, if she wouldn't have pushed this through her 12 votes that from time and time on council for the last 4 years, it has always been 12-3, 12-3, 12-3, with no discussion. You know, because they was already set on voting whatever way that the mayor wanted them to vote. So she knew that she had the votes. That's why she pushed it through. And she knew that if it didn't go through before September 12th, that a lot of her contributions from these developers wouldn't happen.
Okay, so you're going to present the resolution on Monday, July 3rd, to table it for a moratorium until after the election.
Yes, I will be putting a resolution on the floor this next council, you know, asking for a moratorium until a new council is seated and a new mayor is elected in 2018.
Which I think is great, but given the track record of the council, it's going to wind up 12-3 again. Is my assumption correct?
And again, we need the constituents to understand that their council representative is not representing their best interest. Because, again, like I mentioned earlier, Ms. Cynthia, our Uptown Wars pays the lion's share of taxes in the city of Albany. They shouldn't be burdened with development and construction coming into their neighborhoods, you know, just because. Now, at this point, I want to give you an example, right? Let's talk about the development that took place or that's about to take place around SUNY Poly. Amongst all the confusion that, you know, the big Reagan and you know, the stink and, you know, possible convictions, you know, behind what went wrong up there. You had, and again, even though it's a town of Gilderland, that's our neighboring town. They pay, you know what I'm saying, most of them probably come into our city and, you know, and spend, you know, and recycle money and work and come to our entertainment venues and everything. For months, they came with month council, you know, and they stressed that, you know, this development coming right in their backyard, you know, was infringing on their quality of life. I have not heard one person step forward during public comment and said that was a good look for the developers to build up there. But now that Albany rezone has passed, there's nothing that these neighbors can say. There's nothing that these neighbors can do. That's how come I feel that I must present this moratorium Monday night to try to get some relief and get some hope to these taxpayers that pay the lion's share of taxes within our city of Albany.
So,
because
so
only because only the government, excuse me, because only a government can put a resolution in to stop this.
Now,
so I.
What do you say to people who are listening to this? What should they do between now and Monday to ensure that the rezone Albany is tabled until after the election?
I will hope that if they heard this program, that Monday night they will come down during public comment and support my resolution calling for a moratorium until after this election cycle, until a new council and a new mayor is swearing in on January in 2018.
Okay, let me play the devil's advocate for a minute. When they did the trash fee vote, there were so many people that came to that meeting and said that they were against it. When it came time to vote, there were so many votes that voted just the way the mayor wanted them to. So how do you break that logjam? How do you break through the 12 people who are going to continue to vote, even if it's not in the best interest of the citizens of Albany?
Hopefully, by me running for council president, that I will be able to go through all 15 wards and explain to the residents of the 15 wards that their representation on council is not representing their best interest. Only thing that I can do, right, is present this resolution and hope that the other 14 members of council agree that what can go wrong with making sure that a new council, hopefully that the incumbents will be voted back in because their constituents will see that they are standing for them and standing for the best of their interest, and revisit this come 2018. But it is very important for this resolution to be presented Monday night.
Okay. So,
because the city as a whole has to understand what's the playing field. The city of Albany has to understand that their vote is very important, and this is a very important critical election.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't break that cycle, then the city is, you know, I mean, we drowning.
Okay. So if tell us where and when the next meeting will be.
It will be Monday night, July 3rd, at City Hall and Council Chambers. Public comment begins at 7 o'clock. Urge that public speakers come earlier and sign up before public comment starts.
And the last question is, if somebody's listening to this and wants to become involved in your campaign, whether to go out and get signatures, make phone calls, donate some money, how can they contact you?
Please, my home office is at 42 Quail Street, Albany, New York. Please stop by anytime. You can contact me via Facebook. My telephone number is 518-221-7811. Contact me anytime. And I will urge the city of Albany to reach out to me because I am a voice. I am the one that's going to stand up and fight for them. And hopefully come September 12th, I can gain their support and gain their vote on the Democratic line in the September 12th primary elections in the city of Albany, New York.
Mark, thank you so much. We will talk again. In closing, do you have anything to say?
I love my city.
Wow. Okay. So you've been listening to Mark Robinson, who's running for Common Council President, and he is going to propose a moratorium on Rezone Albany on Monday. So if you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. And please be aware that this coming weekend, which is the July 4th weekend, WCAA 107.3 is going live. So listen to the show, and if you have a comment, like us on Facebook. Thanks, Mark. I look forward to talking with you again. And thank you, everybody,
thank you
for listening. Have a great
day. Thank you. Have a great day and weekend.